prepared, but just let the worshipers just carry on. If you want to sit, guys, sit. Just go as you feel led. There's such an anointing and there's such a presence of God. And I just felt now, I literally felt a wind come into this place. And it was just the presence of Jesus is here. And so, Lord Jesus, we just welcome you. We just thank you that you're walking amongst us, that you're presencing yourself. What a privilege to have Jesus in the house. What a privilege to have you come and touch us and fill us. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, just more of your love, more of your beauty, more of your, just reveal you, Jesus. More of who you are, Jesus. I'm just so reminded of a testimony. My message tonight is all about engaging the supernatural. And I just feel like God's gone ahead of us. You're already engaging the supernatural, and that is so cool. And so just carry on with whatever's happening. But I just want to say that I heard a testimony earlier this week about Bill Johnson, actually, and how one day he was ministering, and after he was ministering, he saw like a long strand of hair in his Bible, and this hair was different. It was black, and then it went into gold. And he thought, wow, what is this? Now, there's a lot of supernatural things happening in Bethel, so he puts it in a packet and he puts it away. And he goes to another conference a few months later, and he was ministering, and as he was ministering, somebody in the crowd came to him afterwards, and they said, you know, there were two angels standing on either side of you while you were ministering. And he said, wow. He said, tell me, what did these angels look like? And they said to him, this lady started to explain these angels to him. And she started to explain what the angels looked like from the bottom and up. And then she said to him, you know what? She says, but their hair was strange. She said, their hair was black and then it went into gold. And he said, wow. He said, thank you, Lord. I know what that was in my Bible. It was an angel. It was just an angel. You see, the supernatural wants to break through. Jesus is wanting to break through every minute of the time. He's just wanting to break through. And earlier this week, 2 weeks ago, I heard of a lady in our church. Her name's Norma Brown. She's Jennifer's granny. And I hope she doesn't mind me telling you the story. But I'd heard stories that she keeps on finding these long gold threads in her house. They're on her lamp. And then they on the kitchen counter, and at first they said to her, you know what, it's Christmas threads, it's like from the Christmas tree, but it's July now, and Christmas was in December, and that house had a lot of cleaning done to it. I know that home is clean. The maid would have cleaned on the lamp and would have cleaned on the kitchen counter. And I'd heard of this testimony, and last week I went to her and I said to her, Norma, I said to her, you know what? I know that this lady in our church at the moment, she is going through a hard time with her husband, and I know that her husband is ill. And I said to her, you know what, Norma, that Jesus is just showing you. His angels are just leaving strands of hair because they are just showing you that they are there, that she is not alone, that the whole of heaven is behind her, that as she ministers, as she nurses her sick husband, that there is angelic presence, that she alone as a wife does not have to nurse her husband, but that God gives her ability to nurse her husband and to love her husband. And you see, guys, heaven is just wanting to break through. The angels are with us every single minute of the day. There's another story of 2 weeks ago, we took a crowd of people with us, and we went to a meeting down the south or on the north coast, and it was Ant and Les Redmond's church, and they had been praying. It was on the Saturday night or whatever night it was, and there was a sick person and they were having a meeting, and the elders were laying hands on the sick. And so they turned to find the bottle of oil that the elders anoint the oil with to pray for the sick, and the oil was empty. So they thought, oh well, and they just prophetically put the oil over their heads, and then they looked and somebody said, look, the bottle of oil is full. And God had miraculously filled the bottle of oil. And do you know that they brought this bottle of oil to the meeting that we were at 2 weeks ago? And they passed, they wanted to show how God, they wanted to show something of heaven, they wanted to show the fragrance of heaven, and they passed this bottle of oil around at the meeting, and there were about 200 people at the meeting that night, that morning. And we were, our group was the last people to smell the oil. Guys, I want to tell you, people were taking that oil and they were putting it on their arms and they're putting on their faces. And when we got that bottle of oil, it was full. It wasn't running out. The oil of the Lord does not run out. The oil of the Lord is all, yeah, there's an abundance. And so James took this oil and he put it all over his Bible. And guys, I want to tell you, it was a smell that I've never smelled before. It was a heavenly fragrance. I think it was lemon, but I can't tell you if it was lemon because it was the most beautiful fragrance. And he doesn't have his Bible yet, but next Sunday, grab his Bible because this fragrance of heaven is just on 1 Corinthians in his Bible, 2 Corinthians in his Bible. But my point is that supernatural breakthrough, supernatural God is wanting to break through. There's a song by Jason Upton. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. You've got to get hold of it if you don't. It's called Fly. In the message, and Jason Upton is playing prophetically on his piano. He has no backing vocalists. And they were recording a CD. And when in the recording of the CD, along with his voice, are angels' voices that is taped. I mean, you can get the CD. We've got the song. And you can hear the melody of heaven. You can hear the angels. And Jason got off the stage and a little boy came up to him. You see, children see angels all the time because children's minds are so innocent. Children don't battle with faith. That's why Jesus says have childlike faith, because children do not battle. And this little boy came up to him and he said, Jason, there was an angel standing behind you. And this morning, Dean, can you just help me out quickly? I just have to, in this spiritual moment of God's downloading, he's stirring our hearts, people. He's stirring our hearts for things that only he can do. He loves it when we depend on him. He loves it when we trust him. He loves to show himself. He loves to show himself. And this morning, in our very own Highway Christian community, I tell you guys, worship is getting better and better. You cannot afford to miss services because every single service, there's more of an anointing of God. But this morning, this is just what the Lord just showed me. I mean, look at this. This is just such a beautiful picture of worship and adoration. And you can just see the presence of God. You can just see these people in awe of the presence of God. You see, guys, when our eyes are fixed on Jesus, and when we are in a time where, like now, when the piano was moving, I mean, when the piano was playing earlier, when we are fixed on Jesus, and when we are in awe of Jesus and in worship, he loves to come and worship. He loves to show himself in worship. And when we are in worship, you know what happens? The supernatural wants to break through. And it's almost like, Jen doesn't know this about her painting, but it's almost like, I just saw this as us reaching out into the spiritual realm and our hands going out, our cries going out, our God knows, and there's a meeting, there's a spiritual realm. Heaven comes down and meets earth. Heaven comes down and meets, God is just wanting to just break in, and there's just this supernatural exchange, if you want to call it that. This is the time when we say the glory of God was in that place, where our eyes are so fixed on him that he comes, where diamonds appear. This is that stage where the supernatural is just present in our meetings. And then what it does is it collides, it brings a kaleidoscope of color. It changes us from the inside out. As Christians, we are not meant to be dull and boring. We are not meant to be just people who just don't have the answers. Who we are called to be the light of the world, church, the city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And so this this color, this explosion of color is what God has called you to be. God is wanting to release color into your lives through the anointing, through the worship, through His glory, through His supernatural. God is wanting to say, guys, if you are trusting God for things that you feel are too big for God, that is a good place to be. That is a good place to be. Because I keep on seeing a picture of a catapult. As I was just praying for Highway, I just felt like supernaturally, like that the Lord is catapulting Highway. There is a quickening. We heard this morning that there is a quickening in the spiritual realm and that there is a catapult. And I believe that God is saying that He is catapulting this church into new revelations of Him. To believe God for things that only He can do, because He wants us to trust Him. You see, too often we are too scared to believe Him. Too often we bring God down to our past experience. Too often we say, but Lord, I prayed and that person didn't get healed. Or Lord, I trusted for that thing and that thing never came down. And you know what happens to us? Deep inside of us, we lose faith. We lose heart. We lose an edge as Christians. We're too scared to trust God. But you know what, friends? That is the most healthiest place to be. Because when you trust in God, you are depending on God. And you are putting a demand on God to come through for you. And I just feel like actually when we're sitting and we're not asking God for big things, we're actually saying that God is too small. We're actually saying that, God, you are too small because you didn't come through for me in the past. God, you didn't. So I'm going to box you to my understanding, and I'm going to box you to my limitations, and I'm going to box you to what I think is reasonable for you, God. Friends, God is so big. He is huge. He is the creator of this earth. He is here. Did you know what? We are the ones. We are the ones who limit God. And yet, He chooses, He says to us, He says, but I have put my fullness in you. Every single one of you has got the fullness of Christ inside of you. Do you know what that means? That means that Jesus, the power of Jesus who healed the sick, Jesus who opened the blind eyes, it means that the power of God, the supernatural things of God, the fullness that our minds cannot comprehend, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who made the beautiful mountains and the berg, the God who created you, chooses to live in you because He wants to be glorified through you. And He wants you to depend on Him. I just think of the other day I was reading Matthew, and I know that the book of Matthew is just so exciting because it is action-packed. It is like watching a movie. I don't know when last you guys have watched a movie that is so action-packed as Matthew. But literally, Jesus, he in Matthew chapter verse 8, He just finishes a sermon. Hey? Oh. He finishes a sermon on the mount. And Jesus is walking. He's walking from the mount because He was on the sermon. That's where He was giving a sermon. And He's walking down the mountain. And next thing, this man with leprosy comes running to Jesus. Now, guys, a man with leprosy is an ugly-looking man. He has got scars. He has got pus. He has got sores. He most probably stinks. It says that he was almost the outcast of no one wanted to be around him because they were scared that they would get it. So anyway, here comes this man. He's just given this wonderful sermon. Here comes this man with leprosy, and he comes and he says, Lord Jesus, are you willing to heal me? And he leans down and he bows down. He says, are you willing to heal me? And Jesus says, I am. Go and be healed. And the man goes. And then Jesus goes to Peter's house. Peter and him were obviously good mates. I think we've read that. But He goes to Peter's house, and as he's walking, and he gets into Peter's house, and they're chatting, and then next thing, Peter's mother-in-law is literally, she's sick in bed. She's got a fever. They actually had the flu in those days. And she's lying in bed, and he goes up to her. He prays for her. She gets healed. The Bible says that she waits on him. She gets completely healed. She goes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, are you hungry? Can I feed you? Jesus, are you comfortable? I mean, just imagine. You've got to read the Bible as if it's a story. You've got to get imaginative sometimes. And Jesus is comfortable. He most probably ate. I don't know. But anyway, next thing, there's a knock at the door. And Peter's mother-in-law most probably opens this door. And next thing, there are demon-possessed men. Hello, Jesus, we want you to heal us. She's like, wow, come in, guys. These men come in. Jesus casts out the demons. He casts out the evil spirits. They go. They get healed. I can imagine they must have worshipped. They must have praised. I mean, it must be amazing. And then these men go off. And then Jesus gets in the boat. We know the next story is he gets into a boat with the disciples. And they wanted to cross to Bethsaida, I think it is. And now, guys, the boats in those days, they didn't have Periyamaha. They didn't have engines. They didn't have electric. They had little oars. And so they get in this boat. And the disciples and Jesus are on this boat. And off they go. And Jesus falls asleep. And next thing we know, there's a massive storm. And now, can you imagine being in the storm? I mean, you're in this little boat. You're doing this for ages. And Jesus is asleep. And this boat is rocking. And the waves are huge. And the disciples are saying, how can this man sleep? We're in a storm. And they're freaking out because the waves are bigger than the boat. And they say to Jesus, wake up, Jesus, wake up. And Jesus says, you of little faith. And then he says, I rebuke you, wind and storm, in the name of Jesus. As smooth as a baby's bum, the water just goes, whew. So powerful. And then they make it to the other side. And now, I mean, this is hectic stuff. The Bible is so filled with stories. We need to get excited about this. They make it to the other side, and they're most probably tired. They're pushing the boat up. They're launching the boat up. They're tying it to a tree, most probably with a piece of rope, tying it to a tree. And what happens? Two demon-possessed men. The two most demon-possessed men of all time. These men were living. It says, the Bible says that these men were living in tombs. I mean, guys, this is wicked stuff. You know the spirit of death that must have been in these two men who were living in tombs? Tombs were graves. It's like they were living in the graveyard. These evil, possessed men. The Bible says that they were so possessed. The Bible says that no one in that community came near them. Everyone was petrified. So they used to walk around the men so that these scary men didn't come to them. And yet Jesus and his disciples have just launched their boat. They're just happy to get there. And yet these two men just appear. And they say, the demons actually say, it says, Jesus, why have you come before your appointed time? See, the devil knows. The devil knows. And we know the story. There's a herd of pigs on a hill. Rich pig farmer. Must have been, what's it? The Gentiles. And Jesus casts the pigs. He casts the demons into the pigs. I mean, guys, get graphic. The pigs are standing there. Next thing, the pigs are oink, 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 oink. Whoa! Splash! The pig farmer is seriously bummed. His living is gone. There is no bacon in this place for a year. He is bummed. His stock has been drowned. This man, Jesus, what are you doing here? And you know what? We know what happened. They weren't stoked with that stunt. And the whole community comes out and says, Jesus, please leave. Read it. Matthew chapter 8. And that's all it is. That's just Matthew chapter 8. Guys, the life The life of Jesus, Jesus attracted the supernatural wherever he went. Signs and wonders followed Jesus. But you know what? He's always got a deal for us, doesn't he? Because he says, interestingly enough, we don't always believe it if we're very true with ourselves. But in John 14, verses 12, it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Church, do you know what Jesus is saying? He is saying to you and me, sorry about the paper, but he is saying to you and me that you will do greater things than speak to the storm and the wind and the waves. He's saying to you that you will do greater things than cast out demons. He's saying to you that you have got the power of Jesus inside of you, church, city on a hill, light to the world. You, church. 1 Corinthians 4 verses 20 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. He loves power because Jesus is supernatural. You know, the original language puts it like this. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in logos, but in dunamis. Dunamis? What the heck does dunamis mean? Do you know that dunamis means the power of God displayed and imparted in a Holy Spirit outpouring? So in other words, that verse says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of the power of God displayed and imparted by the Holy Spirit. You see, it is the power of God. When Jesus was casting out the demons and healing the sick, he was in a physical body, just like you and me. But the power of God was displayed through Jesus. And you know what? The power of God is waiting to be displayed through you and me. To put this scripture into context, when you read 1 Corinthians, we find that Paul is addressing it to the church. And what had happened was, in this church, other teachers of the law, had come into Paul's church, which was in Corinth, and these teachers of the law were speaking to their church, but there was one problem. They were speaking, and they were speaking, and they were speaking, but there was no power of God. There was no power. And so Paul was seriously worried about this. And that's why he says it's not a matter of talk, but of power. Because these people were coming into his church and they were just talking. And there was no power. So in two chapters earlier, if you read in Corinthians, it just explains Paul's heart for his church. You know, Paul's heart for his church, Paul's priority for his churches, for his church, was that they would come to know, hang on, where am I? Sorry. Is that they would come to know God, they'd come to a place of faith in God's power. That's what Paul wanted for his church. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that you might, and here comes his reason. He's always got a reason. He says, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. You see, Paul was so clever. He was a very clever pastor, because he was teaching his church to experience the power of God so that they would know God and that they wouldn't rely on men. So often we don't know God and we rely on what other people tell us. Why do we settle for the ordinary when we're supposed to have the extraordinary? So often as Christians, you know what? We become preoccupied with ideologies and concepts. And we forget about Jesus and His power. We forget about Jesus who's the one, as we heard tonight, who is so lovingly and so beautifully just wanting to come and love us and experience, for us to experience Him. Christianity is not a philosophy, you see, it's a relationship. And so even Jesus was in relationship with the Father. He says in John 5 verse 19, He says, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. You see, the key to the supernatural is that Jesus only did what He saw His Father doing. Jesus was in direct relationship with His Father. And you know what, church? When our eyes are fixed on Him, and when we are doing what He says we ought to do, the supernatural will follow. And His love will follow. Because it's at Him at work within us. And it's not us. So just as Jesus, His eyes were so on the Father, so our eyes are so on Jesus. And so fixed on Jesus. Sometimes we just need to listen. You know that the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak to us every single minute of every single day? Do you know that the Holy Spirit is just always, always wanting to download His love? Jesus has got all the answers you need. He's got every answer. And just as right now, like in this room, we know that there are thousands of radio transmissions going through this room, radio frequencies. Right now, radio frequencies are going through this room. But we can't hear them. But we know that if we want to hear the radio, we must tune into 94.5, and then the frequency will come, and then we'll hear East Coast Radio. Do you know that it's the same with God? That He's just wanting us all the time. He is just wanting to speak to us all the time. Like right now, the radio waves are going on and on. Whether we choose to switch the radio on has got nothing. It won't affect us. But it doesn't mean the radio waves aren't happening. And so God is speaking now, and He's speaking to you, and He's speaking to us. The problem is, I think, she's Karen playing. I feel so sorry. Do you want a break? Okay, sorry. I just feel so sorry. I know it's a long thing. The problem is that so often we're looking for formulas. We want formulas. We want reasons. But you know what? We were never, ever, ever meant to base it was never about a formula. That right from the beginning of Adam and Eve, it was always about a relationship. Jesus always intended a relationship. And so often, I mean, I'm being a little bit negative, but often we can do this when we're reading the Word. Often we can have a roadmap approach to the Bible. You know, when we just know, we just go to the Bible for answers and find out what we must and what we mustn't do. Now, I'm not discounting that there are godly principles and values in the Bible. But what I am saying is that so often we go to the Bible and we read that. We like, been there, done that. Know that scripture. That is a familiar scripture. It's a familiar passage. What did James do? Maybe I should study this today. Sounds interesting. You know, sometimes we just go to the Bible because we want to find stuff. Or we go to the Bible because we just want to feel better about the fact that we haven't read our Bible today. But you know what that is? When I treat the Bible as a roadmap, I live as if I find my own strength and my own understanding from this book. And actually, this is living under law rather than living under grace. You see, because living under the law is a tendency to want to go according to a list of preconceived boundaries, of preconceived ideas, of do's and don'ts, of whatever it may be that you know that that's already in the Word. So it's just a list of preset boundaries, and it's not about a relationship. Living under grace comes with an inbuilt ability to obey what is commanded. It is already in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. It is dwelling. He is dwelling in us. And so under grace, we don't get a roadmap. We get a tour guide. We get the Holy Spirit. And you know that a roadmap and that the Holy Spirit are two completely different things? Because with a roadmap, it's out of your own strength. You might get lost if you don't understand the roadmap exactly right. And it's based on your understanding. It's self-effort and it's impersonal. But the tour guide, there is no effort on your part. In fact, it's the most beautiful thing to have Jesus. It's the most beautiful thing to have the Holy Spirit. It's the most beautiful thing to have this tour guide. Because you are just sitting back. Have you ever been on a tour guide? Because they just tell you everything. Even if you don't want to know what they've got to hear, you've got to listen to what they've got to hear. You've got to listen to what they have to say. Because they're so informative. And you just sit back and you listen and you go on this tour and you see things. And you know what, guys? God wants to take us on a tour in the Word of God. He wants to make us hungry for the Word of God. Because when we go to the Word of God and when we come to God in a grace, under His grace, under His beautiful grace, it's almost like you're on this, it's like boom, you're on a new journey. Because you start to see things differently. And you start to see it's not about this scripture or that scripture. It's actually just about enjoying Him. And so that's my message. I did it upside down. But yeah, I really believe. I mean, you've seen these guys sticking coins on the wall. I mean, what the heck is sticking coins on the wall? And the coins stick. Is there still one there? There's a coin stuck to the wall. Do you know what? Sometimes, people, we don't have the answers for the supernatural because God actually likes it that way. He likes to blow our minds. He likes us to depend on Him. He likes us to need Him. Because when we don't have anything to look to Him for. We do it in ourselves. And so I think that the sticking coins to the wall is actually just as children with childlike faith wanting to enjoy their dad. And He just comes through. Jared, you want to tell your story of the wall? The coins on the wall? And what God did for you?
Okay, well, I wasn't expecting that, but that's cool. Yeah, well, there's been a lot of speculation about the coins with regards to there's a chemical reaction or there's a suction when you put the coin on the wall. And I was like, no, that's a lot of rubbish. And I've got these brick-faced walls in my home. It's like a porous brick, very like lumpy and got, you know, little holes and stuff like that. And I was just on Thursday at home and my sisters and I were just enjoying the presence of God. And I just started looking around the room, and I was just like, I want to stick some coins up on these walls. And so, like, we just, that's what we started to do, and we put these coins on the walls, and like you could see where we were putting the coins, there were just big gaps, like barely even holding on, and they were just like staying there, and there was, you could see there would be no suction. You can't say it was a chemical reaction, and it was just God. And I mean, when I left this morning for work, it was, the coins were still there, and I did that on Thursday, and it was just insane, just God's, I don't know what it is, it's just God, that what Kim was saying, just enjoying God, and just, it's learning Him, man. It's learning about Him, and learning His love, and it's just enjoying Him, man. It's just one of those things that it's not seeking after the coins, it's just Lord, it says, you're so good. You're so good that you can, man, you can just do anything. You can make the coins float on the water. But I'm cool, I'm going to stick with the coins now on the wall, so, yeah.
Oh, God, Ken. Should we just stand? I just want to pray. Do you want to share?